Backyard Almanac, because it's Friday. How does it feel being like America's favorite show, Larry Weber?
Well, I think you do it every morning, so I think you should know.
Ah, bless your little heart. The check's in the mail, Larry.
Yeah, and you're going to double my salary, too.
As a matter of fact, you know, if we get enough membership pledges, we will. Say, I tell you, though, I have been talking about you behind your back all week long. Your ears must have been tingling. I have been saying that you are a person that can take, kind of like Mary Tyler Moore, you could take this gray, dreary week and you can tell us all of the good things that are happening because of all this rain. I have mentioned reduced fire danger and vernal ponds.
Wonderful. Those are two great ones.
I heard, even though I didn't know I was hearing them, the friend that I was with on Monday identified spring peepers for me like red squirrels. I think red squirrels and spring peepers are birds because if it makes a bird song, sort of a bird whistly song, I think it's a bird. Thank heavens I have smart friends. So tell us why, all of the reasons why an entire week of rain is really a good thing, Larry.
Well, I won't tell you all the reasons because I doubt if I know all the reasons, but I will tell you a few. All right, first of all, we had a dry year last year, and we are now a bit above moisture this year. Mother Nature tends to even out things. Tomorrow, this is April 9. Tomorrow, April 10, is the 100th day of the year. And up until now, we are nearly an inch above normal for precipitation for the whole year, and certainly above normal for April. Now, like I say, Mother Nature tends to even out things. Last year, I thought this time in April, we had some really good vernal ponds. We had a bigger snowpack last winter than this year, and when it melted, we had beautiful ponds. So it looked terrific. But then April, May, and especially June were dry, and many of those vernal ponds dried up, and I think we lost some populations of some of the frogs. Frogs don't all breed in the same kind of pools, and some of them did not dry up, and this week they were out into the other vernal ponds again. And so that's one of the beautiful things of the rain. It has replenishing the ponds. It also has brought back some of the greening. If you were out doing your gardening this week, and I'm sure you were, you noticed that the ground is largely unfrozen, thawed, and therefore this rain, which has never been really torrential, has been light, has been able to sink in. And there's been some beautiful greening that has taken place. I'll talk more about that in a moment, but we probably notice it most in lawns. And so if you're driving down the road and you can take your eye off of the car coming at you for a moment and look at the lawns nearby, you'll see greening that is happening. So yes, that's another reason why it's good. It also brings out, the critters, perhaps a little bit easier to see. And what I'm referring to is what I just saw in my walk this morning was a flock of juncos. It's not unusual to see juncos in the springtime, especially in April. And they usually congregate in two places that I've noticed. Number one is your yard. If you've been feeding birds, they tend to hang around quite late in April, stretching in into late in the month. And There'll be flocks of them there, but there's also flocks. This is what most of us probably see are flocks along the road. If you're driving down the road and you see a flock of little birds fly up and you notice some white markings on the tail, it's juncos. I have been watching a flock these last few rainy days. I've been watching a flock that has been feeding very actively along the road here by my house, and the flock keeps growing. The first day I saw it, I estimated 80. And then the next day, yesterday, when I saw it, I estimated close to 200. And this morning, I estimated 250. And they find safety in numbers. And the junco is a dark bird, gray or black, with some white on the underside. And they are a kind of sparrow, though we don't usually call them a sparrow. And they will mix with other sparrows. So when I looked at these flocks this week, I was able to find a few other sparrows with them, namely fox sparrow, tree sparrow, and song sparrow. I have yet to see the white-throat sparrow, which I wouldn't doubt is going to be there as well. So it goes on and on. And then, of course, there's going to be the buds opening and all sorts of things that are coming about from the rain. But before we look at that, let's look at the other statistic for April. So far, we have been warmer than normal. Now, if you put those two together, warmer than normal with more rain than normal, nor precipitation, we have not gotten any snow, though the Weather Service did claim there was a trace of snow the other night. For most of us, we didn't see any. We would call it just rain. And put those two together, yeah, things are going to happen. So I made a list of what has happened so far during this first week of April, and I'm going to go through it day by day. These are sightings that I noted. Now, there's many people seeing things that I'm not seeing. A good example is I don't have great blue heron on my list because I haven't seen it, but I know people who have. Okay, so going back to the first, I saw wood ducks at a couple of locations. The April 2nd, ice out at our lake. April 2nd is about 3 weeks earlier than normal. It is not the earliest. I have twice experienced ice out in March, but April 2 is a very early one. And, of course, when there's the ice out, there's also the melting of the ice on the vernal ponds, and that all took place on April 2. April 3, I saw a few more migrants in the yard, brown creeper, purple finch, and then out at the lake, there was the first kingfisher of the season showing up. I also had an interesting sighting along the road that day. I saw a couple of red poles. Now, these are kind of leftover from the winter, but they were still out there. Also saw a few more butterflies, a muskrat swimming in the lake, and this is a really cool one. Yes, I saw and had land on me a mosquito. Now, this is too early for the mosquito season to be going on. So what happens is this. There is a species of mosquito that will hibernate as adults, like these butterflies, like the morning cloak butterfly does. They'll hibernate as adults behind bark and so forth. And when it starts getting warm in the spring, and don't forget we had a day of 70 degrees this week, they'll start coming out. And yes, they are adults, so they're ready to continue the cycle. And yeah, they'll come and look for some blood. But no, like I say, it's not the really big influx of mosquitoes. That's going to happen a little bit later. Also, before the day was over on April 3, I heard the first wood frog of the season. Wood frogs are remarkable. They winter underneath leaves and so forth, part of their body freezing, but they're very early to wake up and quickly go to the nearby pond where they start calling. On April 4, I saw a couple of migrant ducks, bufflehead and ringneck duck, and I also noted that the Canada geese in our nearby swamp here have already started to nest. A couple more frogs were calling before the day was over. The chorus frog, which makes a creaking kind of noise, they were calling, as well as the spring peepers. They started calling on that day. That's April 4. Now, those are all earlier than normal. I usually don't hear frogs calling before the middle of April, but yep, we're going to be earlier than normal. On April 5, I saw more migrants and heard more migrants, turkey vulture, mourning dove, golden crown kinglet, and then I noted the aspen trees. This is a good thing for all of us to know. There's an abundance of quaking aspen trees in the area. Way back in early March, we noticed how they produced furry buds. They and the pussy willows both did that. Well, right now, the quaking aspen and the pussy willows are going on to the next step. Those furry buds are getting longer and larger, and they're producing pollen on them. And yes, this is happening right now. The catkins. April is a month of catkins, and we see it with alder. We see it with hazel, we see it with aspen and willow, and later we'll see it with birch. There's a lot of catkins that are out there. Well, the lake was ice out on April 2, so when April 6 came along, it was no surprise to see a loon there. Also, finally, I saw a robin. Now, many others have been seeing robins before, but that was my first one. And then I took a walk at Jay Cook State Park. I went out there to see three things that are always early in spring. Number one, a tree, a small tree that grows there. It's not a very common tree in our area, but it's more common further west, called leatherwood. And yes, it had started to bloom. And then I started looking on the forest floor for these ramps, the wild leeks. And even though I looked a couple days earlier and did not see them, yep, they were there growing in quite a few different places. And then a really terrific discovery on that walk on that day on April 6th was finding the first spring wildflower in bloom. It was hepatica. I have never had an exception. Wildflowers in bloom in spring is something that I pursue very carefully every year, and I've never had an exception. The hepatica is always the first to bloom. And the reason for that is that, unlike many of the other ones, it keeps its leaves all winter. And so, therefore, it doesn't have to grow new leaves when spring comes. And so, yes, the flowers were either purple or white, and I found about a dozen of them in bloom. So that was a terrific discovery. But April 6th was not over yet. You might remember, about midnight, we had quite a display of lightning. So, yes, the first lightning of the season was not an isolated little flash here or there. It was very, very much lightning. There was not a lot of rain at my house to go along with it, but there was certainly the lightning. On April 7, the first fox sparrow, tree sparrow, and song sparrow all showed up in a junco flock that I mentioned earlier. And then I noticed that the leaf buds were starting to open, starting to turn green on lilac. So I went to another tree nearby, and that's elderberry, and took a look at those. And sure enough, not only were those green, they were opening. And yes, the new leaves are starting to open on elderberry. This is a phenological event that I usually associate with about the 1st of May. So that will let us know again that we are headed for an early spring, or we are already into an early spring. And then, of course, yesterday we had the, on the 8th, we had the junco flock. We also had crocuses being all done with their blooming already. Now, there's a lot of things going on that I did not have on that list. A good example, I said, was a great blue heron, but there's also more ducks. There's hermit thrushes, there's yellow belly sapsucker, there's flicker, there's yellow rump warbler, there's phoebe, there's tree swallows. All of these have yet to happen, but I'm sure they will. And sooner or later, Lisa, we're going to hear about people reporting seeing baby rabbits and baby squirrels. That's going to be coming soon. There's going to be more snakes out and turtles. I've been watching a log that turtles like to go on to bask, and I haven't seen them there. We've seen butterflies, but we have not seen another one that I often associate when we get further along into April, and that's bumblebees. They'll be out soon, as are the green darner dragonflies. So plenty more happening. Now, like I said, there I found hepatica in bloom. That's going to be joined by plenty of other wildflowers. Early springs are what a lot of people like, but I have to point this out to you. It has its downside. That early springs have another side to it. Early springs are usually followed by a summer that's hotter than normal, and usually we have an early springs, we have more of an insect issue to be concerned with, black flies and mosquitoes, etc. Now, I'm not saying that's anything negative. That is just the fact that goes along with early springs. So, but nevertheless, there's plenty of other things happening. Let's enjoy it. There is a timing in nature where that the when the leaves open in early May, it coincides with the return of the neotropical warblers. The neotropical warblers are not noticing our weather up here. They are in tune with the longer days, and they come back. Now, if they come back and the leaves have already opened, then a lot of their food that they're searching for, namely small caterpillars that are in those leaves, has already grown. And so it can be a little bit difficult. An early spring can be a little difficult on some of these warblers, but that remains to be seen. Either way, get out and enjoy it. This is April.
Well, all you're not going to...
can happen in April.
Larry, you're not going to convince me that a hot summer is a bad thing, because I can sit outside on...
Did I use that three-letter
No.
word?
Well, Dad? You did say a downside, and then you said hot summer, which is what the back porch was invented for. You sit on the back porch, you watch the bees, and you take their photographs, and you read books,
right.
And it's perfect.
Wonderful. There is a lot more insects than those that bite. You are absolutely right. And the pollinators need a lot of help now.
And by golly, my garden's doing its darndest. Larry, thanks
and,
a million.
And what's good for insects is also good for spiders. So I usually find hot summers are very good for spiders.
Okay. And I'm working on my spider thing. I'm working on my spider thing. I'm making myself just hold still and sit with my almost overwhelming desire to run screaming. I'm working on it.
I tell people in trying to educate people about spiders, first of all, they're absolutely fabulous critters. But if you don't appreciate spiders, and you have become quite a photographer, you might want to not look at the spider, but instead look at the spider web.
Exactly.
And that
yes.
is a very good way to learn how to appreciate spiders.
Exactly. And if nothing else, you know, I mean, the people that want to challenge themselves and they want to run marathons and want to do all that, I double dog dare you to see a spider and make yourself sit still.
That's
okay,
right.
That is a way to challenge yourself.
And just watch it. You don't have to do anything more. Just
no, you can.
It.
You know, you can move away slowly to a foot.
And as I tell people, nobody's asking you to like it, but you don't need to hurt it.
Exactly.
Mind, they are our friends. They are full time out there, not part time. Full time out there trying to feed on some critters that we might not appreciate.
Exactly. And let's hear it for anything and everything, as long as we're speaking about critters that we aren't usually super fond of. Let's hear it for bats that eat mosquitoes. Yay!
Yep.
Put up bat houses. Oh, Larry, one last thing. How's your porcupine?
Oh, I haven't seen it for a while. You know what? That's not unusual. Porcupines have a tendency to winter at some spot and then go off and have their family somewhere else.
Well, we're still getting porcupine reports occasionally from the bog. And
okay.
I'm pretty obsessed with your porcupine, so expect that you will be that I'll be asking you for frequent updates.
All right. Well, and I'll give them to you if I ever see it.
All right. So, thank you, Larry.
Enjoy.
Larry Weber, our host for Backyard Almanac, a regular feature of Fridays here on 103.3 KUMD. And if you appreciate Larry Weber's... gosh, 25 years of service and bringing you these conversations every Friday, we're encouraging you to go to the phone and make a membership pledge right now, 218-726-7181, or you can always click and join at KUMD.org.